Today is Sunday, June the 28th, 2020. And if you would, take your Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 12. There is so much going on in our world today. I was talking to a friend recently, and we were talking about how it's almost hard to wrap your mind around all the things that are going on. But for Bible believers, we understand it's not about politics, but it is indeed a spiritual battle that we are in the midst of, and it is roaring on many different fronts. You know, and then there's so much confusion out there. I mean, think about just the pandemic and how much confusion there is with that, with statistics and models and wear a mask, don't wear a mask. There's so much confusion, and God, the Bible says God's not the author of confusion. The confusion doesn't come from God. The Bible also says there are two gods. The creator of the heavens and the earth is the one true God. He is the Father of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The other is called the God of this world. He has many names: the devil, Satan, serpent, the dragon, the tempter, the deceiver, Lucifer. He rebelled against God and fell from his position of second in command as one of the archangels. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, it says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This rebellion and fall is detailed in a number of places in the Bible, and it's briefly covered in the Walking in God's Power foundational class, and there's also great detail concerning this topic in the advanced class on Walking in God's Power. Sadly, and I'm not saying this to criticize, I'm not saying it to condemn or out of any kind of arrogance, but sadly, many Christian believers don't recognize or understand spiritual matters, and that's not the true God's fault. So this morning, kind of a short reminder that we are in a very real spiritual fight. First, let's briefly review why the other God is called the God of this world. So if you would go to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And of course, where it says, in our image, God doesn't have eyes and a nose and two ears. The image of God is spirit. The original intention of God was for human beings to have spirit life and to have dominion over everything. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." That dominion. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, to everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very, very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God gave them dominion over all of it. They were created in God's image, meaning they had the Spirit of God, and because they had Spirit, God gave them dominion over all of it. In chapter 2, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die." Very clear what God said. And then in chapter 3, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" You know, the very first occurrence of our adversary in the scriptures is not about when he was created, not about when he rebelled, not about when he fell. The first thing God tells us in Scripture about the adversary is how sneaky he is and his motive. Did God really say that? For those who think that it's not that big of a deal to be very concerned about precise accuracy of what God says, they should read this section. I know, you know, we're pretty concerned about precise accuracy with our paycheck. You know, if you worked 40 hours in a week and then, you know, you worked 5 hours overtime, and you got your paycheck and your overtime wasn't on there, you wouldn't go, oh, well, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, you wouldn't. You know, if you deposited $300 in your bank account and you went and looked it up and they only put $250 in, you wouldn't go, well, that's pretty close. No. We're very concerned about things being precisely accurate in so many categories. What about God's word? Well, watch what Eve did. Yeah, did God really say you shouldn't eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, oh, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. No, that's not what God said. God said you may freely eat. She left out freely. Oh, that's not that big of a deal. Really? Oh, it is. And then she goes on to say, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it. True. Neither shall you touch it. God didn't say anything about touching. And then she said, lest you die. Lest you die, perhaps. God said, in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. How sloppy Eve was in handling what God said. And then the serpent comes out, shows his true colors. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Or you could just simply say, God lied. You shall not surely die. For God does know in the day you eat thereof, oh, your eyes are going to be open. You shall be like gods, knowing good and evil. There's the deceiver. The liar and the deceiver showing his true colors. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they surely did die that day because they lost spirit life, their connection with the one true God. And they also lost the dominion of this world that God had given them. They, in fact, transferred it over to God's enemy. And we can see that in Luke chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there. Luke chapter 4. This is when Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being, verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2 of Luke, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered, I guess so. And the devil said unto him, hey, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you command this stone to be made bread? You could probably do that if you really are the Son of God. Are you? Let's see. And Jesus answered him, saying, what a great answer. It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, in another gospel it says, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Point is, Jesus Christ's response was the word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. He had it all delivered to him. If you will just worship me, it'll all be yours. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Sound familiar? Yeah, there he is, the deceiver. It was delivered to him. Adam and Eve had it, they lost it, and he got it. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 4, we'll look at it in a few minutes, it says he's the God of this world. And you know, Jesus Christ brought great light and understanding of the spiritual battle. He exposed it. Colossians 2 says he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. He spoke of it many times. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. In John chapter 8, and in verse 44, having a discussion with some of the religious leaders, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So where do lies come from, originate from? He is a liar and the father of it. We're real close, so flip over to John chapter 10, familiar verse. John 10:10. Jesus referred to him as the thief. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's the resume of the God of this world, along with one third of the angels that fell with him. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's where all the evil originates from. All the sickness, all the deceit, all the injustices. You know, you can read in Acts 10 where it says Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It is a spiritual battle we are engaged in. And the church epistles, along with the book of Acts, are not silent about the spiritual battle. If you take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul says to the Corinthians there, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. From Reverend Cummins' working translation, however, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your thinking processes might be corrupted from the integrity and the purity that is in Christ. God does not want us deceived, beguiled, tricked. In 2 Corinthians, back up to chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for let... 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Being ignorant of the word of God, a person will be ignorant of Satan's devices. And remember how sloppy Eve was concerning what God said? As a result, the Bible says Eve was deceived. You know, the Bible talks about people getting deceived by the work of deceiving spirits, and then those people go about deceiving others. 2 Timothy 3 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's a spiritual battle we encounter. How about we look at chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, not far from where we are right now. Therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Well, remember, I think, wasn't it last week we talked about praying without fainting? Don't faint. Pray. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The God of this world blinds people. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's the light of God's word that needs to be preached in the midst of this spiritual battle that we're in. Go to Colossians chapter 1, if you would. We're going to get there in a minute. Colossians 1. You know, people say, why is all this stuff going on? When's it going to end? What is happening? What's going on? It is a spiritual fight. And no question about it, it has escalated. The evil in this world comes from the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. God tells us in Ephesians to not be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Or as Reverend Cummins translates that, every wind of the deceptive teaching of the crafty men with their strategies of delusion. The work of the deceiver, our enemy, the adversary, whatever you want to call him, the work of the deceiver is designed to corrupt thinking processes and blind people from the light, from the truth. But this wonderful verse in Colossians 1:13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He may very well be the God of this world, but we, as born-again ones, no longer belong to him. His authority over you has been revoked. We belong to God. We're God's children. And we stand on absolute legal grounds. And it's up to us, as it says in 1 Peter, to resist steadfast in the faith, in believing. Believing what? The word of God. You see, Jesus Christ set the standard of how to resist by the power of the spoken word of God. Paul knew where all the junk was coming from. Remember in Corinthians he said, the messenger of Satan to buffet me off, and he prayed. And he prayed, and God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And God did give him grace and deliverance. Paul also mentioned in another place that, you know, he wanted to travel to a certain area, and he said, Satan hindered us. Yeah, it's a spiritual battle. We are children of God. We are children of light, God's light. We no longer belong to the power of darkness. We've been delivered. We belong now to the kingdom of God's dear Son. And you know, last week we talked about letting your light shine, even in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, shining as lights as we hold on to the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Depart from it. In other words, at one point, they're believing God's word. "Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Man, oh man. When you read 2 Timothy, it's when the church, first century church, was collapsing. You know, you read in Acts where it says, all Asia heard the word of God. The word just was growing everywhere. And you read in 2 Timothy, it says, all Asia has turned away from me. But he split out. Why? Why? "The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith," the right way of believing, "giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Who's behind it? The enemy, our adversary. "Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." I'm trying to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercise to godliness. Godliness has been, sometimes it's translated or spoken of as your personal relationship with God. And I think last week I mentioned that the most important thing in your life is your personal relationship with God. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Exercise. It takes effort. It's not, okay, I'm just tight with God. It's a continual process. And it goes on to say in verse 8, "For bodily exercise profits little." You know, it profits a little bit, right? You're never gonna come up with the greatest exercise plan there is that will guarantee you're gonna live forever. You know, but bodily exercise, when we exercise ourselves, that's good. It profits for a little, but godliness, exercising ourselves for godliness, is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, in purity. And look what he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine," God's word. "Continue in them, for in doing this, you shall both save yourself and them that hear thee." Boy, what a fantastic section this is. And verse 7 says, "Exercise yourself unto godliness." What's the context of this? First verse we read, some fell away from the faith, departed from it, left, because they got deceived and seduced. Exercise yourself unto godliness. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. There's so much going on in our world that is being completely orchestrated by our adversary. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Just a reminder this morning. Isn't that what we see going on in our world today? It's not about politics. It is a spiritual fight we are in. In James chapter 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, wouldn't be boasting about that, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Envy, strife. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Well, that sounds like the headlines. Sounds like exactly what's going on in our crazy world. And so we go to Ephesians 6. And I know over the past 3.5 months, we've looked at this once or twice. And you know what? Let's just read it again this morning. It says, finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6:10, and I know you've heard this section, I know you've read it, and it's still very apropos. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is what is going on. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, as opposed to crumble, as opposed to being frustrated, out of your mind, discouraged, angry. I can't go on. Stand. And this is how we do it. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, God's word, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, the right way of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then don't forget verse 18, that's part of the armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Put on the whole armor of God. You know, if you're a football player, you don't run out into the game and without your helmet. I don't need my helmet. I don't need cleats. I don't need pads. That'd be stupid, wouldn't it? Be crazy. You know? You're a baseball player. You go up to bat. I don't need a helmet. I mean, the guy's only throwing 100 miles an hour. What are the odds he'd hit me in the head? Put on the whole armor. You see, for you and me, we're already on the field. Yeah. Whether we put on the helmet, the armor, or not, we're already in the game. That's why God said, suit up, get dressed, put your uniform on, put on the whole armor of God. We need it. And think about this. What's the context here of putting on the whole armor of God? It's the spiritual battle that we are against. If we didn't need this armor, God wouldn't have said, put on the whole armor of God. We need it. You know, does that mean that, wow, we put on the armor, we're immune? How we never get hit, never get knocked? No. But I'll tell you this, without the armor of God, you set yourself up to get blown about with the winds of doctrine. You set yourself up to get deceived. You'll be ignorant of Satan's devices, delusions. You know, like it says in Romans 16, by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. These days there seems to be an escalation of darkness, no doubt. Evil, deception, confusion. Why so much of it? You know, it's escalated. Why is there so much of it? I mean, I always knew there's an adversary out there, other things going on, but today, why is there so much? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you exactly why. Because our adversary is doing his job, stealing, killing, and destroying. The rulers of the darkness of this world are doing their job. And so, instead of focusing on all the darkness, all the gloom, and getting angry and disgusted and discouraged, let's do our job. Put on the whole armor of God and shine as lights in this crooked and perverse time. How? How do we do that? Well, by the way, don't get fooled into thinking it really doesn't matter. All this is going on, I'm just going to hunker down, ride out the storm, hope everything works out. Don't get fooled into thinking that way. Your life matters. You matter. You're important to God and His family. You are a child of God. And so we just do our best to stay faithful at what we already know to do. Number one, keep your head in God's word. Stay strong in the basics. Continue to grow. You know, in this section here in Ephesians 6, look how much of the armor is the word of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Keep your head in the word. Number two, praying. Praying. You know, verse 18 said, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying. Pray for the things you specifically need in your life right now. You know, so that God takes care of what you need. Be persistent, looking for and expecting an answer. Pray for others. Pray for our country, for those that are making decisions. Pray for our country. You know, some believers, well, I don't want to fly the flag. I don't want people to think, what? Stop it. Pray for open doors to speak God's word to people. Pray that God's word may have free course. Pray for the wicked to be exposed and stopped. Number three, speak the light of God's word with the love of God in your heart. When we speak truth to people, we're speaking light. And Jesus Christ said, it's the truth that sets people free. And number four, manifest the Spirit of God that is in you. And, you know, in addition, if there's something God specifically wants you to do, He'll tell you. And you know, today people are angry. They're disgusted. They're discouraged. And guess what? We can bring them hope with the light of God's word. People need hope because a lot of people are thinking it's hopeless. We can bring people hope with the light of God's word. You know, like it says in Romans 15, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It's obvious the spiritual battle has really escalated. It's always been there, but it has escalated. It's wide open now. We can see it. So, do we run and hide until things calm down? No. But, you know, we're not stupid either. You know, shortly before Jesus was arrested, during the time there at the Last Supper, He knew things were going to get pretty rough. And he told him, he said, remember when I sent you out and I told you, you know, don't worry about provisions, you don't need to bring anything with you, just go and, you know. He said, well, a little different now. Now make sure you got some cash, you got some provisions and some swords. And then somebody said, hey, well, we have two over here. And he went, that's plenty, that's enough for protection in case they needed it, not to go on a full attack. Like Peter did shortly after that when Jesus was arrested. Remember? Tried to cut off Malchus' ear. You know, and Jesus said, put the sword down, Rambo. He said, we're not doing this now. So it was protection if they needed it. But think about this. What did they do in the book of Acts in Jerusalem when the authorities were arresting and executing God's people? I thank God here in this country we don't have to deal with that. And I pray to God we never have to. But it says in Acts, they moved out to other areas and they went everywhere hiding? No. Being secret agent Christians? No. They went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching the word. So, you know, I would just say if no one in your neighborhood, your area, if no one's arresting and executing, speak the word. we can bring the light of God's word to people we meet. We can bring the love of God to people we meet. We can give people hope. And never underestimate that your love and your speaking of God's word is not important. We are in the midst of a spiritual fight, and we preach God's word. So I want to close in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8, be sober. And that's more than not being, you know, drunk. It's having your thoughts whole. Sharpen your thinking. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, you know, the roar of a lion, the whole reason the lion roars is to petrify people, get them afraid, to just stop in their tracks. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Devour. And you know his ultimate goal is to get rid of the word of God. Not religion, not nice people, you know, not friendly folk. His ultimate goal is to get rid of the word of God, the accuracy of God's word, and then people will indeed be slaves, because it's the truth that makes a person free. Seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, the right way of believing, believing God's words, just like Jesus Christ did. And that's why we put God's word into our heads, so we have something to resist with. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who's called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered, endured a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Yes, glory to our great God. Because we know how it's all going to end eventually. Yeah, we read the end of the book. Christ is coming back. We are going to be gathered. But until that time comes, stand. Take a stand in the midst of all this crap. And we do that by keeping our heads in the word, by praying, by speaking God's word, and by manifesting the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we praise you for your goodness, for your kindness, for your grace, for your mercy. Father, we're so thankful that you have given to us life eternal that we couldn't earn, certainly don't deserve. Thank you for giving us your wonderful word so that we could know the truth and not be fooled and not be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, that we could know you, and that, Father, we could see the wonderful accomplishments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who accomplished it for us. Thank you for allowing us to be your children, for giving us your Spirit, and, Father, for the direction in your word on how we can stand in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, shining as lights as we hold on to your word. Thank you, Father, for blessing us, helping us, and continuing, Father, to shine your grace on our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, thank you all for being here today. I'm going to post this teaching on the blog, and we'll be back here next Sunday. Feel free to give the info to anyone that you think might be blessed to join us. Have a blessed week ahead, and put on the whole armor of God, and love people. God bless you. I love you.